Jesus. Amen. We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. Unworthy. That's the last thing we want to hear about ourselves. You are unworthy. How those words strike terror in our ears. Unworthy of a spouse's love. Unworthy of a passing grade. Unworthy of a job. Unworthy of being heard. Unworthy of a loan. Unworthy of an acceptance letter. Unworthy of a raise. Unworthy of a call back. Unworthy of respect. Unworthy of the truth. Unworthy of a parent's pride. Unworthy of a child's respect. Unworthy of admiration. So, oh, how we strive to be found worthy, to live up to everyone's expectations, and to live up to our own. Are you worthy? Well, sorry to be such a downer. I guess it wasn't the best foot to start off on. With all this unworthiness going on out there in the world, the church should at least be upbeat. An escape from what's going on out there. Positive, happy, uplifting. But then we get these words of Jesus this morning. I'd love to just skip over them, but I can't. I was told, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. But then we use the lectionary, this set of lessons from Scripture, for a reason. So that we force ourselves to get in all the words of Jesus. And the lectionary says, read these words today. And so it's not an easy thing this morning to hear that even before God, coram Deo, even especially before God, we are unworthy as well. Not only do I feel unworthy a lot of times, I am unworthy. Well, isn't that wonderful? And worse than that, if it can get any worse than that, is unworthy is the best that I can do. It's a pretty miserable thing to hear, and even a worse thing to say of ourselves, that even if I did everything that I was commanded to do, all I would have to say about myself and you as well is, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. We have only done what was our duty. So what was our duty? What is it that we are obligated to? What is it that God expects of us? Not the over and above stuff done by those pious, overachieving Christians. No, just the bare bones minimum. Well, it's pretty simple and straightforward. You know the commandments. There are only 10 of them. It's not like there are 300. And those 10 can be boiled down to two. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. And, of course, to do this all of the time, not most of the time, because it is your duty. And not only with your friends, but also with those who are on the other side of the aisle of politics, on the other side of the union bargaining table, on the other side of the kitchen table, on the other side of the family, because it is your duty. And to do it from the heart, with the right motivation and attitude, because it is your duty. Never causing someone to stumble, because it is your duty. Indeed, always to voice disapproval of that which is evil and wrong, but to do it in such a way that you will be heard, not written off. and that repentance would come, because it is your duty to freely forgive the one who says to you, I'm sorry. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns and says to you 7 times, I'm sorry, you must forgive him because it is your duty. That's your duty. And you haven't done your duty. And neither have I. So it's true. We are unworthy servants. But unlike the servants in Jesus' parable, we haven't even done our duty. Not even close. Not you, not me. Not even in the ballpark of doing duty. These are not good words at all. When the disciples hear these words, they pray, increase our faith. In other words, if this is what is our duty, something's got to give. If doing my duty is what's required, then I need something to help me out, because help me out to be able to do what I really am unable to do and quite honestly unwilling to do. God, I need more faith to be able to forgive like you want me to. I need more faith to love my enemy, because deep down I want my enemy to stumble big time bad. And by the way, that's what the word sin here means when it talks about causing someone to sin. To sin or to stumble here doesn't just mean to trip and scrape their knees on the asphalt, which would be great, by the way, because they are my enemy. No, to stumble here means to lose their faith and go to hell. I need more faith, Jesus. That's what they pray. So Jesus responds, you know what? I agree with you. You need greater faith so that you can make yourselves worthy disciples. I've noticed you've been a little weak in that department lately. You need to get to the spiritual gym and start working out. You need to exercise your faith. You need to step up and start swinging faith's kettlebells, challenging yourself. Pray more, trust more, so that you can become the spiritual giant I know you can be. No, that's not what he says, and thank God he doesn't, because it seems the harder we try to increase our faith, the harder we fall. Work on our faith hard as we can, then get on the faith scale at the end of the day, and we realize our little faiths haven't gained an ounce, and our unworthiness has just gotten fatter. To the disciples' prayer for greater faith, Jesus says, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. At first, that sounds like Jesus is telling the disciples that they need a greater faith. They need to get at least to the mulberry seed or the mustard seed level, so that they can order mulberry bushes around. But in fact, Jesus is telling them the answer to their faith problem, so to speak, isn't the size of their faith. The problem is who their faith is in. I've used this example before. You can have all the faith in the world in me that I can fix the brakes on your car, and that great faith of yours will only get you killed because I don't know anything about brakes. You can have faith the size of a spotlight that will light up the moon. But if you're connected to an outlet that doesn't work, it doesn't matter how big your bright bulb is. It's not going to light up a thing. But on the other hand, even the tiny light on your cell phone will light up an entire bedroom in the middle of the night if it's connected to its battery. Even a tiny faith in the right things makes all the difference. If you're looking to the size of your faith for what you need, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking to yourself and not to your Jesus. So the answer isn't to get to the spiritual gym and start working out. The answer isn't to change to a more powerful bulb. The answer is to switch plugs. Jesus says a very encouraging thing to hear, that even a tiny faith, a faith that's been struggling desperately, a faith that's wrestling, a faith that feels a lot like a beat up, bruised reed, a faith that's barely smoldering, a faith that's hanging on to Jesus by its teeth-bitten fingernails, a faith the size of a mustard seed, a faith even the size of your stressed-out faith, is more powerful than you can possibly imagine because of what that faith trusts. Or better, because of who that faith trusts. This morning, we come not to focus on ourselves and on our faith. We come to focus on Jesus, the object of our faith. So look up here. What do you see? Me, I know. But with these robes, I'm doing my best to blend into the background. Same old robe every Sunday, week after week, year after year. Nothing much to focus on. Why, I don't even have a beard. In fact, the only thing that changes is my stole, and the stole blends in with the pulpit. No, front and center, we see the pulpit where everything talked about revolves around Jesus. Front and center, we see the baptismal font, where instead of Jesus justly hanging a great millstone around our necks and drowning us in the depths of the sea, our Lord drowns us in holy baptism and there declares us unworthy servants worthy through the forgiveness of our sins. Front and center, you see the altar, where instead of demanding our sacrifice on it, in whatever form that might come, our Lord comes and grants us real life in his own body and blood. Front and center, you see the tree of the cross, and hanging on it, the strong one who became weak for us, became sin for us, taking on all our unworthiness as his own, and dying for us so that it might not be us doing the eternal dying. Dying for us that we might not receive what we've earned, what we justly deserve, but instead be given what is much greater and what we could never be worthy of apart from Christ. Only in him will you find the worthiness you're so desperately looking for. Only in him will you find a worthiness that never fades away. Only in him will you find a worthiness that doesn't come and go with the changing tides of those around us. Oh, to the world, you are constantly going to be trying to prove your worthiness. Prove that you're worth hiring. Prove that you're worth keeping. Prove that you're worth loving. Worth respecting. But in here, with Jesus, you don't have to worry about any of that. In here, it's not what you do. It's who you have been declared to be by the one who has redeemed you. In Christ, you are no longer an unworthy servant because you are no longer a servant at all. No longer a slave, but a friend. No longer a servant, but an heir. That's who you are. Oh, and by the way, about all those things you have to do because it is your duty, you don't have to do them anymore. You don't have to love anymore, because now you're free for the first time in your life to love because of who you are in Christ, the selfless, loving one. You don't have to forgive anymore, because now you're free to be the forgiving person you are in Christ, the great forgiver. You don't have to serve anymore, because now you're free to serve your neighbor, whoever your neighbor might be, free to serve because you have been baptized into Christ who came to serve. In Christ, you do these things not because you have to, not because it is your duty. You do these things because it is who you are. It is who you now are in Christ Jesus, your Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.